Amen. Welcome, everybody. We're so glad you are here. Come on, give me a shout out. Amen. Welcome to everyone who is watching at home. We're so glad to have you guys joining us and getting involved here. I am so pumped about this new series. It's called The Unstoppable Church, and I just challenge you to be with us every weekend and just join us every Sunday. If you can't be here in person, join us online, as many of you do so well. This week, we are talking about unstoppable leader. The reason we have an unstoppable church is because we have an unstoppable leader, and his name is Jesus. Before we dive into today's notes, I want to challenge you that 2 weeks from today, on April 25th, if you need to skip a Sunday of church attendance, skip next Sunday, okay? Because on April 25th, I have asked a guest to come and to speak on that Sunday morning, and it is one of the most mind-boggling, amazing stories I have ever heard in my life. When I met this guy, I begged him, I said, you have to come speak at my church. And it fits with this unstoppable church and the unstoppable message. And I'm just going to tell you, it has to deal with headhunters and how headhunters were turned for Christ. And it is the most, I'm just telling you, be here next in 2 weeks, okay? Now, I realize everyone comes on Easter, and then a lot of you are every other Sunday Christians. And so, like, we were packed to the gills last Sunday, and a lot of you went, oh, it's my Sunday off. We are open 52 weekends a year, in case anybody was questioning. We are open every Sunday, and I believe we should treat every Sunday as though it's Resurrection Sunday, because Jesus is alive. Amen? All right, let's dive into this. The unstoppable church, for over 2,000 years, the church has endured torment, persecution, heartache, crusades, plagues, the dark ages, torment, even death, and yet it endures, it thrives, and it perseveres. Why is that? I believe it's because Jesus is Lord. I believe it's because we are the body of Christ. And I believe that you can't keep a good body down. And we keep coming back, and we keep rising up, and we keep walking in victory. Our foundation text for this series, Jesus said this when he met with Peter, and he changed his name from Simon to Peter to Little Rock. And then Jesus said this, upon this rock, which is Petra, which means large rock. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus was referring to himself, and the church is unstoppable because we have an unstoppable leader. The definition of unstoppable means impossible to stop or prevent, cannot be surpassed, to be unbeatable. Now, the Masters golf tournament is going on. Wouldn't it be cool if you were unbeatable in golf, men? Like, no matter what the day, no matter what the weather, you went out and you won every time. It would actually get a little boring if you won every time. But I lose every time, and that really gets boring, all right? But can you imagine when you go on the basketball court, you're unbeatable? Can you imagine when you pull your car up next to the other car and you're going to drag race when you should and where you should? You're unbeatable. Can you imagine what it means when Jesus says you are unbeatable and that it is impossible to stop or prevent you from walking in the victory he has paid? So let's find out, what has our leader done? Jesus, number one, has conquered death. We talked about this last week. Jesus conquered death in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Now, here's what you have to know. In any battle, in any conflict, the number one way I conquer my enemy is to kill them. But how do you conquer an enemy when you can't kill them? Jesus is invincible. He died once, and he paid the penalty and price for the sin of mankind, and he rose again from the grave, and he defeated death. It is impossible for death to beat him again. And so you can't stop him. Death can't hold him. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God. Everybody say, but thank God. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us victory over sin. Sin has no hold on you. Jesus has said you are victorious over sin and death, and you walk in that victory. Now, the second thing our leader did is Jesus stripped Satan of his power. Now, I'm telling you, just buckle up and get ready for a fun little ride here through Scripture. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. It looked like Jesus had been defeated, but he was being buried that he might rise again and come back with the keys of death and hell. The Scripture teaches us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, therefore God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That name of Jesus has been elevated, that it is above any name, any authority, or any power, that name has been elevated. And then let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at Colossians 2 and Hebrews 2. They're the exact same verses, and they're bringing the same meaning together. Look what the Scripture teaches. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. I love verse 14. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. Now, what that means is the Greek word means to remove by wiping off, to cause something to cease by obliterating or eliminating any evidence of it. That your sin, the blood of Jesus, washes you white as snow. So this is you before Christ, the records of your sin, the despair, the sin. But when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. This is before Christ. This is after Christ. You have been washed, pardoned, forgiven, cleansed, and purified. And when the enemy comes back and he says, oh, but what about that sin? You say, I don't know. My father forgave me of all of my past sin. I don't remember any more sin. And well, what about when you were in high school? What about what you did? I'm free. I'm washed, I'm cleansed, and I'm purified. And the enemy has no record on me. Look, and then it goes on, it says in verse 15, it says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I want to read it to you out of the Message translation, verse 14 and 15. He says, think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, and here's what I love, that old arrest warrant has been canceled and nailed to the Christ cross. He stripped all spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and he marched them naked through the streets. What was it? Back in that time, if you conquered another king, you would strip them and march them through the streets to show that they have no authority. The crown has been removed. They walked through the streets in shame, that they are a defeated foe, that you have conquered and overcome. Jesus said, I'm going to march Satan butt naked through the streets. I'm going to let him know of his sham authority has no hold or no right on my sons and on my daughters, because I have declared them free and righteous and pure and holy. Thank you for that raging enthusiasm. I could just feel it echoing from the rows. Wait till we get to this one. Now let's go to Hebrews. Check this out. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son of God, had to become flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break, or many translations use the word destroy, the power of the devil who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set all who have lived their lives as slave to the fear of dying. It's in that that Christ has set us free. The word destroy in the Greek means to render entirely idle or useless. It means to abolish, to do away with, to bring to naught, which means zero, and make null and void. That big, bad, scary devil, that big, bad, scary devil, and you watch all of those movies, and you watch that stuff, and you're like, oh man, the devil, I heard something. There's something in my house. There's a spirit. Stop watching that. C-R-A-P. And start reading, feeding on the living Word of God. Because when you watch that stuff, it feeds your fear. When you read the Word of God, it feeds your faith. You need to keep your faith fed and guard and protect what's coming in your eye gate and what's coming in your ear gate, because that's what's going to determine how you respond. But my Bible says that my Jesus, my unstoppable leader, your unstoppable leader, has completely abolished, defeated, and made Satan a big wonking zero. And you have the victory. And so the church is God's deliverer of the good news in Christ. The church is the source that we can come and we can share that good news to all of those that are looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're looking for the power that we have. And so we grow and we advance and we grow in that faith that we have, that Jesus has been defeated. We are overcomers in this life, and there is nothing that can stop us. Point number three, Jesus, our unstoppable leader, is the rock solid foundation. He's the rock solid foundation. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus shared the parable. I'm not going to take time to read it, but in Matthew chapter 7, he shared the parable of anyone who builds his house upon the rock, and the winds come and the waves come and the rains come, and great is, and it beats against the house. And it says that that house stands because of its firm foundation. You try and build your life on money, on sex, on possessions, on power, on anything else that this world has, I'm telling you, you're going to end up wanting. Because Jesus said, if you build your house on the sand, when the storm comes and the winds blow and the rains come, great will be the destruction thereof. Watch this. I can lose my job. All of my retirement stock mutual funds can go in the toilet. I can be faced with sickness and disease. I can have my house hit by a tornado. I can have all kinds of tragedy come my way. But guess what? If my feet are planted on the rock of Jesus Christ, it will not move me. Amen. Now, the temptations, they hurt, but my life isn't over if my job is over. My life isn't over if my house burns to the ground. My life isn't over if all of my stocks are in the toilet. My life is grounded and founded on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Build your life on the rock. Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah. And he said in Isaiah 28, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. And whoever believes need never be shaken. Amen. You build your life on the rock. You stand firm in Christ. You walk in victory over those things that are around you. And then in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, Peter wrote, he said, you are coming to Christ. Who is he? He is the living cornerstone of God's temple. And he was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. So see, let me help you understand something. When we talk about unstoppable church, we're not talking about unstoppable buildings and unstoppable temples and unstoppable sanctuaries. This building is a building where the church, the body of Christ, gathers to meet. But this building is not a church. Some of you are like, I don't know whether it's amen or not. You, the people of God, are the body of Christ. You, the people of God, make up the body of Christ. And we come together. And so when we gather together, we are living stones. And so when we bring people of every race, nation, creed, and color, we come together to build a living spiritual temple, not a physical house. Doesn't matter where we meet. We've met in all kinds of buildings as a church. We're in a printing warehouse. We're in a technological center in the 90s. This was current printing in the 80s. We were a warehouse for Lazy Boy Furniture and a warehouse for David C. Cook. But we said, this is where believers are going to gather, in a warehouse. Some people have criticized us. Well, it doesn't look much like a church. And I don't see any cross. I don't think they're Christian. It's not about our building. It's about the royalty of the people that gather in this place. You are the body of Christ. Well, what makes an unstoppable church? Because our leader, number four, is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. It says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ also is the head of the church, which is what? Everybody say his what? Say it again. His what? It's his body. And in the Old Testament, the way God would move and do his signs and wonders and miracles was through men or women that were anointed by God. And they would do miracles, and Elisha and Elijah and all the different prophets. And then you had the kings and David and different ones who God anointed a person to do the work of the ministry. But today, Jesus said before he departed this earth in John chapter 14, he said, the works that I do will you do also, and greater works than these will you do. Now, I don't think out of quality we can do greater works than seeing a withered hand come forth, blind eyes open, or let alone dead bodies come back to life. I don't think he was talking about in quality of nature. I think he was talking in quantity of nature. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, dwells in me. And we are the body of Christ. So watch this. The collective nature of you, your family, your friends, you left side people, you middle section people, and you right side people, and then you wing people out there on the side wings. You sit there, and I don't even know how you see. You look up at the screen, and I'm like, you know, I'm really thin to those of you on the side section when you watch me on the screen. But you, the people that you sit with, we come together, and the corporate body of the church, the corporate believers coming together, is God's representation of the kingdom of heaven to this earth. God, yes, God's anointed all of us. The Bible says we've all been anointed by God. But it's not about a Billy Graham or a Joyce Meyer or a Joel Osteen or name your personality in the current kingdom. The power and the strength of the body is everyday ministry by everyday believers. It's about us coming together. These bears is an idea I've had for several years. And I tried to make it happen, but Dean Hawk could not make these bears happen. But when Dean Hawk brought the bears to the body of Christ, what Dean couldn't do on his own, we, the collective body of Christ, said, I'll buy a bear, a bear, I got 10 over here, I got a 50 over there, 25 over there, 5 over there, and look at all of these bears. That's the power of the body of Christ. One can put 1,000 to flight. The Bible says two can put 10,000 to flight. Now hold on. Ephesians chapter 1. Get ready. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power, remember Easter, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he, referring to Jesus, who did we say is the head of the church? This is not a trick question, folks. Who is the head of the church? Thank you. Thank you, those of you at home that answered. These people, some of them were taking a nap. Thank you for those of you at home that answered. Now he, Jesus, is far above, watch this, any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come.
Amen.
Jesus is the head. We are the body. If he is far above any ruler, authority, or power, or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things because he wanted a selfie on the throne with God. Was it for his benefit? He did all of this. Say it, for the benefit, for the benefit, for the benefit. He did all of this. He's far above any ruler, authority, power, leader, or anything else in all of the world, this world, the world to come, for your benefit, for the benefit of the church. So if Jesus is crowned as Lord, he's the head. And we are the body. This is Jesus. Hear me. Better known as mild manner Ken. Watch this. God does not have one will for the head and one will for the body. Now, if you have any children in here and they need counseling, just see Pastor Aaron. But here's what happens, folks. The head is far above any ruler, authority, or power, or anything else. And if I'm attached, if I'm a part of the body of Christ and I'm attached to the head, then everything the head has, the body has. And everywhere the head goes, the body goes. And when the head is victorious over death, sickness, and disease, guess what? The body. You, me, the elbow, the finger, the toe, the knee, the muscle, the thigh, the hip, the eye, the ear. We are leaders and above all authorities and above all powers. That the enemy has been stripped of his powers and we walk in rule and reign with Christ Jesus in the authority because he is the head of the church. And it's through the church that Christ moves and ministers and transforms. The church is the antidote to the poison of this world. The church is the answer, and we are unstoppable. And collectively, we do and we fulfill the works and the mission of Jesus Christ. And let's wrap it up with this. Number five, Jesus empowered the church. Our unstoppable leader empowered the local church. In Matthew chapter 28, it says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I came back with the keys of death and hell. I've conquered death. I've been given all authority on heaven and on earth. You ask yourself, what's therefore, therefore? The therefore is therefore because he's continuing this thought. I have been given all authority in heaven on earth. Go ye therefore. Go in the power. Go as the body that is attached to the head. Go in my name and do the miracles that I did. Go lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Go and do the works that I did and you'll see blind eyes open and deaf ears open and you'll see the dead come back to life. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all his commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Jesus said, I got your back. I am with you always. I am never going to depart. I'm attached to you. I'm in a covenant relationship with you. And I am always with you, even to the end of this age. And so let's wrap this up. Here it all comes down to this last little statement on your notes today, the last little blank for you to fill in. Here we go. The revelation is this. When we attach to the unstoppable church with an unstoppable leader, we become unstoppable. When we attach to the body of Christ, when we belong to the body of Christ, we become unstoppable. Now, if we can go back to that definition of unstoppable, you haven't caught this yet. I need to open your eyes. Unstoppable means impossible, impossible to stop or prevent. Jesus said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. It's impossible to stop or prevent the church. We cannot be surpassed, and we, the church, are unbeatable. We cannot be beaten. And here's what I'm going to say. To abandon the fellowship of believers, to abandon church is the enemy's number one goal. Because he recognizes if he can separate you. Some people say this, I just need me and Jesus. Just me and Jesus. I go to church and there's hypocrites there. Well, there's hypocrites in your home too. Okay? Those people just are messed up. Well, there's no perfect church. We're not the perfect church and there is no perfect church. We have a perfect leader and his name is Jesus. All I need is me and Jesus. No, you don't. Because how can a finger function on its own? How can a foot function on its own? If you're disattached, if you don't have a church home, I'm not talking about a building home. I'm talking about a place where you're in covenant relationship. I'm talking about a place where you're finding a small group and saying, I don't see a small group that works for me. I guess I should talk to Pastor Aaron and start one. Quit sitting back. Quit sitting down and going, well, what's the church going to do for me? I want you to rise up and be the church. Amen. Be the church. Yeah. And rise up. I'm going to pastor to my sheep at home. I love you with all of my heart. And I recognize that this pandemic has caused chaos in our world. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. We've had over 500,000 people lose their lives from COVID-19. That's nothing to scoff at. Oh, it's easy when you're not attached and you don't know anybody that has passed. It's easy to say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But when it hits your home, your family, your place of business, it's a whole new game. And I recognize that there are those of you that have been at home, you've stayed at home, you haven't gotten out much, and because of your physical condition, because you're vulnerable, because of your medical history, your doctors has advised you to be extremely careful. And you have my highest love, my highest honor, and my highest respect. And I say, you stay there until your doctor says it's good for you to get out. But there are some of you, I love you, that you're staying home because you're comfortable. This is not a place for you guys to say amen or anything like that. Because you're comfortable. And as your pastor, I'm asking you to come out of your house, get out of your PJs, and come on home. If you have a pre-existing condition that limits that, stay home. I love you, support you. We're going to keep live stream. We're going to have an online campus. We have people that are part of this church, and they live out of Colorado Springs. They live out of state, and we love you, and there's no way for you to join us. But those of you that live in town, I really want to challenge you. Corporate worship and the corporate body coming together and getting a hand and a foot and the eye and the ear and the hair and the knee, and we all come together. That's when we formulate the body of Christ and we see God do great and mighty things, because the body is where it's at. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. And through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go.
Amen.
So we walk in that power and we walk in that authority. And John, in the book of Acts, John and Peter prayed for a young man and he was healed and made well. And the religious people tried to shut him down. And Gamaliel gave this advice. He said, "So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, if this move is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even find yourself fighting against God." We are the unstoppable church. We are the undefeatable, overcoming, triumphant church and body of Christ. And I invite you to be a part of it. And even though the pandemic, I willingly, as a pastor, when our government asked us to shut our doors last March, because they didn't understand the sickness, they didn't understand it, I willingly did it. It is one of my biggest mistakes I've made in 40 years of ministry. I'm not being cruel. I'm not saying I don't care about people. But how many people are in hell and died of COVID? And because the house of the Lord, where believers gather, where Christians come together, where the church, the body of Christ, comes to disperse healing and a cure and minister to those that are hurting and broken and downcast and depressed, how many died during COVID that didn't know Jesus? Because we, the church, the body of Christ across this world, said we're going to shut our doors.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
As long as I'm pastor of this church, unless an angel of the Lord appears to me, we will never shut our doors again.
Amen.
Never. I don't care if there's five or 500 or 5,000. We're going to be the church, and we're going to minister to people in this city, and we're going to minister to those that are broken. Let's wrap this up. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." We are the unstoppable church. We are the unstoppable church, and our critics don't know what to do with us. Why? Number one, they can't take away our wealth because it's stored up in heaven. They can't take away our freedom because we're free in Christ. They can't take away our happiness because our joy comes from within. And they can't defeat us because we're more than conquerors. And they can't silence us because the word of God endures forever. And they can't kill us because we have eternal life. We are unstoppable. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want to pray. I want to ask this. How many of you have had a family member, coworker, or loved one pass because of COVID? Can I see your hands? Let me see your hands, okay? You can put them down. I want to pray for your family and those families that have been affected by this disease. We're almost through it. Those of you at home, our governor says he's going to fill the stadium for the All-Star Game in July. That's a good sign that, vaccinations and herd immunity and people having to get over, that's a good sign. By this summer, we can freely gather. We should be beyond this, and we can freely gather, and we'll add a third service, and we'll push that wall out, and we'll push that wall out. We're going to make more room. We're going to win more people for Jesus in 21 than we have in any other year for Jesus Christ. Amen. But we can't forget from where we've come. And so, Father, I pray for the families that they've lost a loved one and they're hurting. And this disease means a whole nother thing to them than it does to other people. And so, Lord, I pray for your grace, your favor, your love, your compassion, your comfort, and your peace for those that have endured these tragedies. And Lord, I pray that you would sustain them, that your grace would empower them. Lord, I pray that you would heal and protect them. And Lord, we declare healing over Colorado Springs and El Paso County. We declare that COVID-19 is broken from over this city. We declare that our businesses will open, our churches will open, that Lord, that this city will flourish and prosper and be in health in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would grant unto your servants in this room and watching online that you would give us all boldness to share our faith. We have the answer. We have the hope. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be intimidated about. We have what the world is looking for. God, I pray that you'll give us boldness this very day and this very week to show, to share, and to demonstrate the light of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen, amen. Come on, church. All right. This is the way your life looks. You need Jesus because he'll take your sin and he'll wash you clean. You say, but I should probably come a few more Sundays to church. I should probably read my Bible a little bit more. You can't earn this. It's a gift of God. It's free. But all you have to do is say, I recognize I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And when you do, he'll love you, forgive you, cleanse you, and adopt you into his family. And then you become attached to the head and you become victorious and triumphant in Christ. You have to say yes. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you, if you want freedom, and you want your past expelled and done away with, I'm going to count to three and I want you to raise your hand high. Here we go. One, two, three. Raise that hand really, really high. There's one back there. There's two. There's three. Keep them up. Keep them up. Is there four? Was there anybody else? Come on. Amen. 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 Come on, church. One back here. There's a woman back here in the back. One of you ladies, go back there and pray. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you've enjoyed the service. If you live here in Colorado Springs or you're going to be in the city, I hope that you'll come and experience the service firsthand. And for those of you that are enjoying the ministry and you're being fed to on a weekly basis, I invite you to partner with us financially and make an investment into the mission and the vision of Rock Family Church. And lastly, if you've never made a commitment and a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, would you make that decision today? Why wait till tomorrow? Why wait till next weekend? I dare you to pray this prayer with me. Would you close your eyes? Would you pray this prayer with me and repeat it? It goes like this. Pray this with me. Say, dear God, forgive me of all of my sins and mistakes. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I invite him to be the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. My life is now in your hands. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Hey, thanks for making that commitment. Will you email us at info@rockfamilychurch.com? Tell us about your new decision to stand up big and live strong for Jesus Christ. We'd love to celebrate with you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next weekend.